Good mornings, I'm Chris Oaks, and coming up today, serving those who served. The Hancock County Veterans Service Office is hosting their Summer Empowerment Fair and Family Picnic this weekend. We'll get a preview. Also happening around town, it's going to be a great evening for a summer stroll through downtown Findlay with this season's Art Walk event. And we have another collection of simple and delicious recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. And believe me when I say, you've never done homemade pizza like this before. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Friday, August 2nd, 2024. Team USA extended its lead, 7 more medals yesterday at the Olympics. That includes Simone Biles winning gold and Suni Lee earning the bronze in the women's gymnastics all-around final. Katie Ledecky became the most decorated female swimmer in Olympic history, capturing her 13th medal in the 4x200-meter freestyle relay. That was a silver medal for the Americans. And America's first gold medal in men's four-person rowing, since 1960. First time we have captured the goal in that event in more than 50 years. So pretty impressive there. Now, 60 years it's been since we've won the gold there. U.S. now has 37 total medals, including 9 gold, 15 silver, and 13 bronze. France, the host nation, remains second in the standings, 27 overall medals. And China is third with 24 medals, including the leading number of 11 gold medals. So they lead in the gold medal count, but third overall. So that's kind of where we are. By the way, I thought this was kind of interesting. Speaking of Olympic athletes and their accomplishments, Robbie Manson, he is a rower from New Zealand, apparently. And we were talking about this yesterday, a day before yesterday or something, a few days ago, about the amount of money that athletes get for winning a medal. It's not really a whole lot. Some nations pay their medal-winning athletes more than others, but most of the time, they don't make enough to really live on. So many athletes actually have other careers besides being athletes, unless they are fortunate enough, like Simone Biles, to have, you know, sponsorship deals and all of that, where they can focus on their athletic pursuits. But most of the athletes are not going to get rich off of this. Some, in fact, have to take multiple jobs, get creative in order to afford to go to the games. So case in point, this rower, Robbie Manson, he's from New Zealand. He has an OnlyFans account to support his trip to the Paris Olympics. Now, if you're not familiar with OnlyFans, it is a place where average people put content, create content on the internet and put it behind a paywall and then solicit subscriptions to view the content. And a lot of it is amateur pornography. I mean, that's really what they're best known for, is amateur pornography. But he said that is not what he is doing. He insists that's not what he is doing. He describes his content as artistic nudes. Okay. He said, I'm making more from my OnlyFans than I am from rowing at this point in my career. He said, I figured if you're going to do it, you have to tell everyone and be really open about what he's doing. He describes his content as artistic nudes. In the captions, I just try to give people a little bit of an update from time to time, like what's going on in my life, training, or the Olympic journey to this point. His OnlyFans. That's pretty extreme. Now, I have seen photos of Mr. Manson, and he would be the type of individual who could probably make money selling artistic nudes. I mean, he has, let's just say he has the body type for it. leave it at that, I guess. And by the way, speaking of the Olympics, apparently Tom Cruise is working on a stunt to close out the games and pass the flag on to Los Angeles. L.A. will be next in 2028, and generally in the closing ceremony, there is a time where they do a ceremonial handing off of the Olympic flag from the host city to the next host city, and TMZ is reporting that the plan for the closing ceremony in Paris will see Tom Cruise rappelling down from the top of the Stade de France with the official Olympic flag. And then the TV broadcast will cut to a previously recorded film showing Mr. Cruise flying with the flag from Paris to Los Angeles, where he skydives down to the Hollywood sign. So that is the story of how the flag is going to be passed. The Olympic flag being passed to Los Angeles for the 2028 games. We'll see. Let's see. What is going on? Among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Remember yesterday we were talking about vaccines and time to get the kids into the doctor, get all of their back-to-school vaccines, and we mentioned that adults need a certain battery of vaccines as well. And on that subject, I thought this was interesting on the Newswire recent study published in the journal Nature Medicine, found that the shingles vaccine, Shingrix, you've seen it advertised on TV, the shingles vaccine may delay the onset of dementia. Really? Not only protect you against shingles, but delay the onset of dementia. An older shingles vaccine has also been shown to reduce the risk, but Shingrix was found to be more effective. Researchers compared nearly 104,000 people who received the vaccine, and those who received the Shingrix saw a 17% increase in diagnosis-free time, amounting to about an additional 164 days without a dementia diagnosis. So, I don't know why that is, what the, I don't even know if the researchers know exactly why, but the shingles vaccine apparently can delay the onset of dementia. So if you needed another reason to get your vaccines, there you go. By the way, speaking of medicines, I thought this was kind of interesting. The Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, is warning that some Americans are accidentally taking too much of those injectable weight loss drugs. You know, like Ozempic and Wegovy, they have become so popular as weight loss drugs. And the FDA says at issue are off-brand forms of the medication. And some people are turning to cheaper, so-called compounded versions of the drug, which require one to fill a syringe themselves and inject it into the body rather than the branded versions that come in pens that dispense just the right amount. The FDA says it has received reports of people overdosing on the compounded medication, giving themselves as much as 20 times more than the intended dose. 20 times more than the intended dose. They say they don't know whether it's intentional or whether it's dosing errors, but very large number of people are taking far more than they should, and it can cause some serious problems. So be careful if you're on these drugs, basically what they're saying. People are taking far too much. And finally here, lastly this morning, among the first things that you need to know, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day, one that caught my eye on the newswire this morning, Ford Motor Company, has patented a new system for their automobiles that would allow cars to monitor the speed of other vehicles on the road. So it would be a system in your car that would monitor the speed of other cars around you. In theory, This could mean that your car could snitch on fellow drivers by sending speeding information directly to the cops. Your car could be a narc, basically, as it were. The patent was published by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office on July 18th. And the way it works is cars would be fitted with camera systems that allow them to monitor each other's speeds on the road. So if one car spotted another nearby breaking the speed limit, it could photograph that vehicle and send that photograph directly to police. Now, this obviously created some concern among some drivers, saying, hey, I don't want my vehicle ratting out other drivers. But a Ford spokesperson says the system is not intended for consumer vehicles. It is intended for use by law enforcement vehicles who oftentimes, with current technology, are not able to distinguish exactly which car is speeding in a line of traffic. And so this would allow them to better identify a law-breaking driver. The patent, the company says, the patent does not state that driving data from customers' vehicles would be shared with law enforcement. But some are not convinced. As one person put it in commenting about this online, quote, they should name the model the Ford Karen. Name it the Ford Karen. Kind of interesting, though, isn't it? They say, no, it's only going to be for law enforcement vehicles, not for consumer vehicles. But it is a fascinating piece of technology. There you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your TGI Friday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Showers and storms possible today, a high in the mid-80s, a chance of storms tonight, a low around 70. The Ohio State Highway Patrol joined forces with other members of the Six State Trooper Project to focus on move-over enforcement. During the project, more than 500 motorists in Ohio were issued citations for move-over violations. The Highway Patrol says the high-visibility enforcement effort included the Indiana State Police, Michigan State Police, Pennsylvania State Police, West Virginia State Police, and the Ohio State Highway Patrol. Ohio law requires drivers to move over to an adjacent lane when approaching any vehicle with flashing or rotating lights parked on the roadside, or to slow down and proceed with caution if moving over is not possible. Get more details in this story on our website. Ohio Governor Mike DeWine is against a constitutional amendment concerning redistricting that Ohioans will see on the November ballot.
The amendment's goal is to end gerrymandering in the state of Ohio by creating a group of 15 citizens to create the maps instead of politicians. The group would evenly be split among Democrats, Republicans, and independents. However, the governor says he believes if the ballot initiative passes in November, it would lead to more gerrymandering in the state. Instead, he's calling on the state of Ohio to take up a similar map drawing process is Iowa. Iowa has a 5-member bipartisan commission to draft legislative maps. Those maps are then passed on to the state's legislature, who can either accept, reject, or modify those maps.
ONN's Jay Fox reporting. Get more on our website. Findlay City Schools was well represented at the Ohio School Safety Summit. The school district says it was represented by school board member and Findlay Fire Department Battalion Chief Matt Cooper, retired FBI agent Dr. Gregory Vecchi, Lieutenant Andrew Welch of the Findlay Police Department, and Lieutenant Evan Slates of the Ohio State Highway Patrol. The school district says participants from districts across Ohio were guided through the implementation of the Safe Defend Active Shooter Protection System within Findlay City Schools. Get more in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online at WFIN.com.
So we got a few things happening around town this weekend that we want to focus on this morning. The Hancock County Veterans Service Office is hosting their Summer Empowerment Fair and Family Picnic this weekend. And joining us this morning is the Director of Hancock County Veterans Services, Nicole Coleman. And Nicole, thanks very much for taking the time. The Family Picnic, a lot of things going on, especially for the kids at this one.
Yeah, so we have been thinking, how could we get more veterans to come with their families and give the families, the kids, the spouses an opportunity to connect as well? So we thought we would bring some bouncy houses, and we will have a touch a truck, and Kona Ice will be there. So there's going to be lots of fun things for the kids to come and do while the parents are getting information at the resource fair. And like normal, we'll have the Guitars for Vets band, which is called AWOL. They will be there performing as well.
So we mentioned the resources for veterans themselves. What are some of the resources? Again, given that the goal is to get more veterans and their families and so on. So for the benefit of those who may have not been to one of these before, what types of resources are we talking about here?
There are typically people there who offer VA home loans. There's someone there who specializes in insurance, which can be helpful, you know, for anyone of any age. But this specific agent has a lot of information about how do you manage Medicare, VA health care, and any supplemental insurances, which, you know, that's a pretty specific thing to understand and navigate.
Right.
So it's nice to have a specialist who can help you with that. And we have Focus is there. Habitat for Humanity is typically there. There are a lot of local resources there that, some of them are just for veterans. Some of them are for anyone, but they just really have an interest in supporting veterans. So it's local resources who are interested in finding out what veterans' needs are and how they can help meet them. So it's a wide range of services, typically 20 to 30 different resource booths set up. And of course, one of those booths is our office is there to answer questions. So if you have questions, you know, about even if you are the surviving spouse of a veteran, we welcome you to come because there are potentially benefits for you as well. And if you haven't ever explored that, we would love to help answer some questions for you about that.
That's what I was going to say. Not only the community resources, but people can learn more about the resources that are available through the Hancock County Veterans Service Office, which are numerous for in terms of navigating the benefits and also inclusive of you know, veteran health and well-being, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, we have a lot of resiliency programs like Veterans Discovering New Life, which is a peer-led support group for veterans. Really, they can talk about anything that they're, you know, experiencing, struggles they're dealing with, joys that they are happy to share about. That is a weekly group. We've got the Guitars for Vets group. GI Tunes, which is a music listening program that helps mediate some of your, you know, depression or anxiety, or just going through a difficult time in life, you want to turn on some good music. Although I, of course, would say to turn on the local radio station, but if you want to have, if you want to have something
that is specific,
yeah.
So a great opportunity to learn about all of the resources that are available both from the office and within the community. And again, as you were saying, it encompasses a lot of different things from health and wellness to finances, personal growth, employment opportunity. I remember last week we were talking about National Hire a Veteran Day last Thursday, and that is always one of the most concerning thing for veterans who are separating from the service. I think we had the VFW surveys that 1/3 of veterans say finding a civilian job is one of the biggest challenges that they feel like they faced when they return to civilian life. So again, a lot of different resources that can help with all of that.
Absolutely. And, you know, one thing that some people don't understand is that the Hancock County Veterans Service Office, we are not the VA, but we are a good connection to your VA benefits. So we can help veterans understand what VA health benefits or VA disability or pension benefits they might be entitled to, and then we can help them apply for those benefits. So, you know, that is a great resource to have right here in the community.
And that has certainly been changing and evolving in recent years. And while we're on that subject, we've talked about it a number of times, the new VA clinic that is scheduled to be open here in Findlay. Do you, as you mentioned, you are not affiliated directly with the VA necessarily, but do you have any new information to report on the status of that VA clinic here in town?
So what we know right now is as of a few weeks ago, they were telling us August 19th is still the anticipated open date.
Okay.
I know that as I drive by there, there are lots of trucks there working with, you know, people working inside the building, which typically means they're getting close to the end. They're doing final preparations. But I also am a VA patient who is transferring from the Toledo Clinic to the Findlay Clinic and received my phone call from the VA a couple of days ago asking if I still wanted to transfer to the Findlay Clinic. Of course, my answer was yes. And so I asked her when they anticipated it opening, and she said probably around the beginning of September.
Okay.
So I don't know if they are just saying that so that in case something goes wrong.
Right. Yeah.
So my office is telling people the middle of August to the beginning of September.
Okay. So maybe a little bit behind schedule, but not too bad. And it does seem like things are progressing very nicely there. And as you mentioned, you can help people with some of the questions that they may have about that new clinic locally and, you know, helping them navigate what needs to be navigated with respect to utilizing that.
Right. Yeah. Because we have someone from our office who attends monthly briefings with the Ann Arbor VA Medical Center, which
Very
is
good.
The parent hospital for the Findlay Clinic. And, you know, so we have a lot of information that we can help people understand. You know, if you are a patient at, say, the Dayton VA Medical Center, and you want to transfer to the Findlay Clinic, we can help you navigate that because that's different than if you're an Ann Arbor patient. You know, and the things that are going to be available at the Findlay Clinic will include a primary care physician, a nurse, a nurse's assistant, and a psychiatrist or a psychologist. So it's not going to be, you know, if people have in their mind it's going to be this huge clinic with lots of services, it is not.
Yeah.
One of the nurses who is there will be able to do blood draws. So if you have lab work that needs done, you can go there to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to be pretty minor as far as what they're able to offer there.
Yeah.
And then if you need other services, then you can go to Toledo if the service is available in Toledo. If not, then you can go to Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
So, you know, you still have all the same options. It's just that regular doctor visit and blood draws mm-hmm. and mental health services can be done here in Findlay, which is a huge help.
Yeah, be a lot more convenient. So again, the Veterans Empowerment Summer Fair is coming up on Saturday, right?
Yes. So tomorrow at Owens Community College here in Findlay, from 10 until 2, we will have coffee and donuts in the morning, and then we will have lunch at lunchtime.
All right. Very good. So bring the kids. A lot of things happening for the entire family. And we've got a link to more information on our webpage at goodmornings.net. Nicole Coleman, director of the Hancock County Veterans Service Office, with us this morning. Nicole, thanks very much for the update. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Well, what a way to kick off the weekend this evening. I'm going to be optimistic here. It's going to be a great evening for a summer stroll through downtown Findlay for this season's Art Walk event. Danielle Wilkin of Visit Findlay is with us this morning. Danielle, thanks very much for taking the time. Now, I know that the forecast says we may have some rain showers or some storms, but they've been saying that all week and it hasn't happened. So I'm going to be optimistic and say it's just going to be a beautiful evening.
Exactly. I'm with you. You know, forecast, forecast, you know, head downtown. It'll be great.
By the way, this is, you know, a rain or shine event, right? So, I mean,
it is.
If you have to grab your umbrella and come on down. Again, this is what I think the newest addition to the Art Walk schedule, is it not?
It is. Yes, this is our second time doing a summer Art Walk. Our first one was last year. Actually, the weather forecast for last year was similar, and it ended up being wonderful.
Well, there you go.
I'm going with tradition here.
There you go.
But yeah, we went to quarterly art walks. They were always so successful in the spring and fall that we decided why not add one in the summer and winter as well.
Now, I don't know if this is just my perception or if this is actually the case. So I'll ask you, as I'm looking at the schedule, and you have the entire schedule and the map and everything on your website, but as I'm looking at the schedule, I don't know that I have ever seen this many artisans, musicians, and so on who have participated. This is just a tremendous, tremendous lineup.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this lineup. You know, we always have great artists participate, but there's something special about this one. We have so many live musicians participating this time, which is just, I think it just adds an extra layer of fun. Mm-hmm. Ideally, they would all be outside, but in case the weather does not cooperate, they will all be inside. So you can still listen to everybody at these locations. They just might be inside instead of outside.
So there are contingency plans in place.
There are.
We can't go through, I don't know that we're going to have time to go through all of the stops and all of the artisans and special things, but hit a couple of the highlights for us here.
Yeah. Well, the Marathon Center for the Performing Arts is hosting the Hancock County Farmers Market. It takes place there every week. However, it doesn't happen on a Friday evening very often. So they're going to do a farmers market after hours, which is kind of fun. And then you can also see their most recent exhibit at the Fisher Wall Art Gallery. They're going to have live music by Reverb and Guitars for a Vet Band. It's going to be really fun. That's also a really great spot to start because they have plenty of parking. So you can start there and then kind of work your way down.
Yeah.
On the opposite side of downtown is Hancock Hotel, similar situation where there's great parking available there. You can work your way north. But they are going to have several artists as well as Jennifer Souter is going to be doing a live painting there as well, which is kind of fun.
Yeah, that'll be cool. So you can actually see it in the progress. We always say, you don't want to miss the artist studios, most notably at the Jones Building.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Jones Building is just such a unique part of downtown landscape that it's really neat to kind of see the inside of that building. There's going to be several artists that are going to have their studios open. Janelle Killebrew is always a great one to visit. She always has some really cool stuff. And Amber Keir in Studio 12 is actually hosting a guest artist, a student artist named Autumn Frank as well. So it's kind of neat. You can kind of see talent at all different stages. Someone just starting off, well, where Janela is a seasoned artist, has been doing this for years and years.
Yeah, and while we're on the subject of artist studios, the Can Do Group is opening up, and they've got a number of their artists that are participating as well.
Yeah, if you have not been into the Can Do Studios, especially since they relocated, it is just, it's an amazing space. And
it
to
is.
See that the work that those students have done, it is really kind of awe-inspiring. It's definitely a must-stop shop. And if you are talking about must-stops, you also have to mention the Findlay Art League. Tonight is the opening reception for their August show that is Must Have Wheels, which is a perfect tie-in to the rest of this weekend's festivities with cartoons tomorrow and the Northwest Ohio Antique Machinery Association show taking place at the fairgrounds this weekend as well.
Yeah, it is definitely going to be a very busy weekend. So this is a great way to kick it off. And along with all of the artisans, one of the reasons why I know the merchants and such downtown love this, it brings a lot of people in, and they go all out for this as well.
Yes, absolutely. This is just, it's just a fun night. You know, if even if you're not necessarily into art, it's a really cool atmosphere in downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Stores are open late. There's live music kind of making its way through downtown as you just stroll. Grab a Dora beverage, hang out with friends. It's a good time to be downtown.
And, merchants and restaurants. Don't want to forget the restaurants. A lot of great food. So we got you covered for a dinner tonight. Now, the Art Walk event begins right after work at 5 o'clock, right?
Yes, that's right. Yep, and it continues through at least 9 o'clock. Most people have things after that. But 9 o'clock is the unofficial stop time.
Okay. And as we said, the entire map of all of the participating locations and the schedule of who's going to be playing and who's going to be displaying their works where is on your website.
Yep. You can get all the information at visitfinley.com/artwalk.
And as you mentioned, again, since Visit Finley, this is kind of business here to talk about the other things that are going on this weekend. Cartoons on Main, the Antique Machinery Show, all of those things are happening this weekend as well. So plenty of reasons. You don't have to go anywhere this weekend to fill your weekend with fun things to do.
Exactly. And that's just scratching the surface. But you can see everything that there is to do at visitfinley.com/events.
We've got a link up on our webpage if you want to get more information on everything going on, beginning with Art Walk tonight downtown. Danielle Wilkin from Visit Findlay is with us once again. Danielle, thanks for the update. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
A woman in Okaloosa County, Florida, is now under arrest, placed under arrest on Monday for, are you ready for this? Allegedly, waterboarding her roommate's pet spider. What did she wake up one day and figure, what is the weirdest way that I could get into trouble today? What is the strangest way I could get arrested? Waterboarding her roommate's pet spider. Police say Elena Rasmussen confessed to drowning the spider in ginger ale. It happened a couple of weeks ago. The spider cost about $70. She now faces charges of petty theft and animal cruelty. Waterboarding her roommate's pet spider. What in the world would possess someone to do that? I don't know. A couple of other animal stories in the broken news this morning. Interesting stuff. Also in Florida, let's see here. And I'm not sure exactly where in Florida this is. Could really be anywhere because they got gators everywhere in the state of Florida. Robert Collin is facing a felony charge after he allegedly lassoed an alligator and tied it to a fence. Ms. Collin used a white nylon rope to capture the gator earlier this week. He then tied the rope around the animal's upper jaw, strapped it to the handrail of a fence, and later called 911, telling deputies that he found the reptile that way. Turned out that he did it. He is now facing, he's 71 years old, so you'd think he would know better. He is now facing a charge of injuring a gator without authority. Apparently have to have authority to injure a gator in Florida. Injuring a gator without authority. He is set to appear in court. What, next week, I believe? Let's follow up on this story. Just bored one day. Apparently, maybe he heard about the woman who waterboarded her roommate's pet spider and said, well, I can do that one better. Apparently. This out of Hawaii. Not often do we get broken news stories out of Hawaii, but a man from the Aloha State is looking at possible fines and jail time after allegedly running over about 24 protected seagulls on a beach last Saturday. with his vehicle. Witnesses say he also came close to hitting two people who were walking their dogs, but the man ran over two dozen protected seagulls. The man has not been publicly identified, but local residents say that he lives in the area. So, again, you would think he would know better. For two dozen protected seagulls. All right. This is a little bit weird. I don't know how this happens. My wife and I just got a new kitten. We added a kitten to our household. We got a new kitten. In Tennessee, just outside of Nashville, True Rescue, an animal shelter, is getting national attention because of a new cat that they have taken in. New kitten with four ears. Four ears. Apparently, the four-eared feline was part of a litter found abandoned in a box. And according to local news reports, staff members have named him Audio. Which I guess he has 4 ears, so just should have named him Quadraphonic. They said they will monitor him for a few more weeks before putting him up for adoption. Staff members say they do not plan to remove Audio's extra ears unless they start to cause him discomfort. So apparently it's not a problem to have 4 ears. It's weird. A couple of other items here in the broken news this morning. From the international file, this is, again, one of those. We have a longstanding kind of unwritten rule in the broken news that we don't include stories where people die. It's generally not funny when people lose their lives. But every rule has an exception, and here is another one. Sometimes an individual's demise is just so bizarre that we can't help ourselves. And this is from Indonesia, where a man was reportedly stabbed to death over the age-old question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Apparently, this happened on Wednesday afternoon, according to local police. Two men were drinking and giving each other riddles when one man allegedly became very emotional over the question of which came first, the chicken or the egg. One became very emotional, left the bar, and then returned with a knife. The victim and the accused apparently did not know one another prior to the encounter. And the story goes on to say it is unclear who held what position on the issue of chickens and eggs. How crazy is that? I mean, again, I hate to laugh because, you know, the man died. But at the same time, of all of the bizarre ways to meet your demise. And finally, in the broken news, a prison nurse in Indiana has been charged with smuggling contraband into the prison that was hidden in containers of lasagna. 46-year-old Regina Davis was having her property screened, as all employees do upon entering the prison, when a guard thought something about the lasagna she was bringing in seemed a little strange. I would think just the fact that she's bringing lasagna in is a little bit strange, but something appeared to be a little off. When investigators dug through the lasagna, they found several packages wrapped in electrical tape that were revealed to contain about 3 ounces of cocaine and 1.7 ounces of marijuana. Ms. Davis originally claimed that a friend had given her the containers and she didn't know about the drugs. However, a search of her phone revealed pictures of the packages that were found in the lasagna. So she had photos on her phone, what eventually ended up in the lasagna. Ms. Davis then changed her story, saying that she was forced to smuggle in the drugs by people who threatened to harm her if she didn't comply. The police didn't buy it. She was arrested on 2 felony narcotics trafficking charges. Again, speaking of people who probably should know better, you would think. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report, an update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. With that, we now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
WFIN has the opening tune-up for the Finley Trojans on Saturday, August 10th, as they scrimmage Toledo St. Francis. This is Tim Montgomery, and WFIN will bring you the action live from Donnell Stadium at 10 a.m. Then get set for another exciting season of Trojan football with the opener on Friday, August 23rd at Toledo Central Catholic. The Trojans play here on 1330 WFIN. WFIN.com and 95.5 FM.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. The Summer Olympics heading into its second weekend now. Have you been watching any of the games? The folks at NBC, who are, of course, broadcasting the Olympics, put together some interesting data, some interesting numbers on their broadcast and on Team USA in general. So I thought I would share. These are really interesting here. 592 athletes, the total number of athletes in the United States delegation to the Summer Olympics. It is the largest of any nation that is competing in Paris. 592 total athletes. 340 of those American athletes are making their Olympic debuts, their first game, which of course means that 252 have been there before. Three U.S. athletes. This was amazing to me. Three U.S. athletes are making their sixth Olympic appearance. Wow. And again, remember, they only happen every 4 years. So we're talking, 20 plus years have been going to, I would imagine, the equestrian shooting sports, those kind of things. Because I know there certainly aren't any gymnastics competitors that have been there for six. But that was amazing. Three athletes making their sixth appearance. Of the contingent of American athletes, 122 have been medalists before in previous games. 66 have won gold medals at previous Olympic Games. Seven American athletes have five or more career Olympic medals entering Paris, entering these games. This I thought was kind of interesting. Among the U.S. delegation, 46 states are represented. The most athletes come from California. 120 of our athletes come from California. 42 come from Florida. 41 from Texas. The only four states that do not have any Olympic representation this time around: Arkansas, North Dakota, West Virginia, and Wyoming. And the difference in age between the youngest U.S. athlete and the oldest U.S. athlete is 43 years. The youngest athlete on the American delegation is 16-year-old gymnast Hazley Rivera. The oldest U.S. athlete is 59-year-old equestrian Stephen Peters. So 43-year age difference. And some interesting numbers on the NBC broadcast itself. The number of medal events at the Paris Olympics, 329 medal events, all of which NBC will broadcast either on the network or streaming on their Peacock streaming service. It's the first time every medal event has been streamed live at this Summer Olympics. They have laid 250,000 feet of fiber cable at the International Broadcast Center in Paris, at the NBC Universal installation at the Broadcast Center in Paris. 250,000 feet of fiber cables. And approximately 1,200 employees of NBC are on site in Paris to handle the coverage of the games. Some amazing numbers in terms of our athletes and everything that it takes to pull off the broadcast of the Summer Olympic Games. Once again, my wife Kyra has joined us in the studio this morning with another collection of recipes from Kyra's Kitchen. And as we said just a little bit ago, believe me when I tell you that you have never made a homemade pizza dish like this before.
No, I have not.
This one is unique.
Yes, it was good too.
I liked it. It was very good. And really the way it came out, you couldn't really tell that it was done this way.
Yeah, no. Nope.
So,
try it. I don't know. You might like it.
It's, I don't know what, I guess I would look at this and say, well, what's the upside of doing it this way other than just to be different?
Yeah.
Well,
I think that it made the crust a little bit more crunchy.
Okay.
Or crispy. Because
sometimes
this way.
That can be a tough thing at home.
Right, right.
Because the crust is not...
Right.
That is a good point.
It was...
Okay, that was your takeaway on it.
My takeaway on it. And I really liked it.
Yeah,
so.
It is good. But again, it's more of an unusual preparation...
Correct.
...than anything else. It looks like a regular pizza.
Yes.
Eats like a regular pizza.
Yeah.
But it is an upside down pizza.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's 2 tablespoons of olive oil divided, 1 yellow onion chopped, 1 green bell pepper chopped, a nonstick cooking spray for greasing, 1/2 cup of pepperoni sliced, 1/2 pound of Italian sausage cooked, 3/4 cup of grated Parmesan cheese, 3/4 cup shredded mozzarella cheese, 7 slices of provolone cheese, 2 cups of pizza sauce, and 1 12.5 ounce refrigerated pizza crust dough. Or you can make your own if you want to.
Yeah.
You do not have to use this.
And
it's just easier for me.
Yeah. And again, with the toppings, you can really use these are the ingredients list, but you can use any of your regular pizza toppings that you would prefer.
Correct.
Okay. So how does this work as an upside down pizza?
So preheat your oven to 400 degrees. Cook and crumble your Italian sausage in a 12-inch cast iron skillet over medium heat. Remove the sausage from the skillet. Turn heat up to medium high. Add all olive oil and then your onions and bell pepper to saute that for about 5 minutes. Remove from the pan and set aside. Then turn off your heat. Grease the pan with nonstick spray. Arrange the pepperoni in an even layer. I'm not a big pepperoni person, mm-hmm. so I did 1/2 pepperoni, and then the other 1/2, I had the veggies, mm-hmm. the onion, and I didn't use the bell pepper, because I didn't have one. I would have, but I didn't have one, so I was like,
okay,
so no biggie. So then on top of that, your Italian sausage, then your Parmesan cheese and your mozzarella cheese, and then arrange your provolone on top of your shredded cheese, and then put your pizza sauce on top of that, and then get your dough ready, and then put that on top of that and kind of tuck it in around the edges.
Then, so again, you are doing this in layers, the exact opposite of what you would normally do.
Yes.
For a pizza.
Right.
Okay.
So then drizzle that with some olive oil and spread that around, and then place it in the oven. And it'll be in there for about 25 minutes until the dough is golden brown. Then carefully remove the skillet from the oven. Place a large baking sheet on top. Then quickly invert the pizza onto the pan. So flip it, then return to the oven and bake for about an additional 20 minutes, 15 to 20 minutes.
So you're gonna bake it upside down in the skillet.
Yep.
Turn it over.
Yep.
And then bake it again.
for right just 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yep, just to brown up the I added some cheese on top of that.
Once you flipped it.
Yeah, once I flipped it, I added a little bit more cheese, melted the cheese, and so about 15 minutes or so, and you're good to go.
All right.
Yep.
So the upside down pizza, it is definitely a unique way of making a pizza, but it comes out great.
Yeah.
It was really, really yummy.
Yes.
Also have a recipe for a bruschetta orzo pasta salad.
Yes. So 12 ounce of orzo pasta uncooked, 3 Roma tomatoes chopped, 1/4 red onion diced, 1 tablespoon minced garlic, 2 tablespoons of basil pesto, 3 tablespoons of olive oil, salt and pepper to taste, 1/2 cup of chopped fresh basil, 1/2 cup of feta cheese. So cook your orzo according to the directions on the package. Drain and rinse with cold water until the pasta is cooled down, and that stops the cooking process.
Right.
In a large bowl, add the tomatoes, red onions, garlic, basil, pesto, olive oil, salt, and pepper. Stir until well combined. Let the mixture sit for about 10 minutes to allow the tomatoes to absorb the flavors. Add the cooked orzo noodles and chopped basil to the bowl. Stir well. Add your feta cheese and stir again. Stir immediately or cover and refrigerate until ready to serve and enjoy.
And again, I would imagine this is another one of those that you put it in the refrigerator for a while. It probably
will taste even better. Yummier.
Yep.
Yes.
And then for dessert, we have a recipe for mini banana cream cookie pies.
Yes. So this is 1 16.5 ounce roll of your Pillsbury refrigerated sugar cookie, or if you have a favorite sugar cookie recipe, you can use that too.
So you start with that.
Yes. 1 3.4 ounce box of your banana cream pudding prepared according to package directions, a banana and whipped cream for topping. So prepare your pudding according to your directions on your box. Place that in the refrigerator. Let that chill. Preheat your oven to 350 degrees. Grease your mini muffin tin or tins, depending. This will make 24 cookies.
Okay.
So you'll roll each of those, divide that up into 24, roll those each up into a ball. Place each dough ball in your prepared muffin tins. Bake until golden brown for about 15 to 18 minutes. Remove from the oven and then use the bottom of a shot glass or a rounded spoon to make your depression in each of the cups.
Okay.
Then let it cool for about 10 minutes. Then use a butter knife to carefully remove each cookie cup from the muffin tin. Transfer your cookie cups to a cooling rack and let them completely cool then. Then spoon a generous teaspoon of your chilled pudding into the center of each cookie cup. Place a banana slice on top of each one of them. Top with a little dollop of whipped cream and enjoy.
Yeah, you will enjoy.
Yes.
You will enjoy the mini banana cream cookie pies. That sounds yummy. Also, the bruschetta orzo pasta salad and, of course, the upside down pizza.
Yes.
All of those recipes are on the Kyra's Kitchen Facebook page.
Yep.
Go to at Kyra's Kitchen WFIN on Facebook, or you can find the link at goodmornings.net for all of those recipes. And if you have something that you would like to share, or you have a suggestion on one of these recipes, or if there's something you're looking for, by all means, let us know, and we'll get Kyra on the case. Again, at Kyra's Kitchen WFIN on Facebook. And my wife, Kyra, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. And of course, remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. You can visit us online at goodmornings.net. Coming up Monday on the program, it's another Mental Health Monday. Some good news to share. In a new report out from the Trust for America's Health regarding deaths in the United States due to alcohol abuse, drugs, and suicide. But of course, that doesn't mean there isn't more work to be done. So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out, make it a good day, a great weekend. We'll catch you back here next week.